Well, I'm glad I'm the first one up here tonight. Biggest night we have yet, and I'm the first one to start it all off. I'll take my 30, maybe a little bit more minutes. Sorry, Marco. You know, just to let y'all know, I'm pretty sure most of y'all know, I am one of the youngest missionaries right now on the field. Corey is just a little bit older than me, and he's the one, and was the youngest one till I came along. And until Stephen gets up and gets out, well then, he'll be the youngest one. But being the youngest, you get a lot of, you know, you get ragged on a lot, as you realize already by Uncle Billy and others. But being young has its advantages. Uncle Billy has bad eyesight. He needs glasses. He doesn't see what I see, so he may see me as ugly as I am, but I know about people who have bad eyesight. They need glasses. And once they need glasses, they keep having to renew their glasses because they get old, they get used to them. So I think his eyes are a little used to his glasses right now. He doesn't see very well right now. So, and I know Sunday night Uncle Billy's going to get up and say something else. So, oh well. Part of life, get used to it. Okay. Luke chapter 23. A message probably most of y'all have heard, some of y'all have preached on it probably, but something that's been on my heart for a good number of years, something that I preached recently in Poland that really blessed my heart, and I hope that is a blessing for you too today, tonight. Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We pray that you bless this evening. Give me the words and ease and freedom and ease to speak. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
This is actually a very famous, very popular topic, but have we ever considered exactly what is going on here? There's a problem that is these men have. First is, I believe, and then this is a complete assumption because nowhere in the Bible can you figure this out, but I believe that they really did not hear much of Christ. They may have heard of him, and I believe that they really didn't understand his message and his reason for coming to earth, because one of them was completely upset at him, was completely saying, "If you be Christ, come off that cross." So it is a complete an assumption from my part, but I don't believe they really knew much about him, about Jesus Christ. And why do I say that? Because Christ preached the message of repentance. And I believe these men were thieves up to the day that they were caught. I believe that they did not want to repent. In Matthew 9:13, if you turn there real quick, and keep your place there in Luke, we'll be returning there real quick. Matthew 9:13, it says, "But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Christ's message was on here on earth was to call sinners to repentance, which I believe these men did not consider themselves sinners need for repentance. I don't think these thieves on the cross were actually, before they got caught, thought they needed repentance. Which a lot of people here on earth, a lot of people nowadays don't believe they need it. I don't need, me? I don't need to repent. What have I done? I haven't killed anybody. I'm a good person. I try to do good. Their own words condemn them. The word "try" has everything to do in there that you fail in doing and not doing it.
That's true.
When I try to not run over you, that means, oops, I'm sorry. I actually ran over you. I'm so sorry. I made a mistake and I actually did it. I tried not to. Trying does not make you succeed in it. But as we go along in our text, in Luke chapter 23, as we go along and we see what happens here, when he's the one thief says, "If you be, thou be Christ, come off that cross." The one says, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Those words, "Dost not thou fear God?" And that is the main topic tonight. Dost not thou fear God? Which I believe this world has no understanding of those words. Fear God? Now they fear God and like, oh, he's a terrible God. Some believe that. Some believe that he's just a horrible God. He cares nothing about you, so he's just going to destroy everybody. Some believe that. Some go, but they go to the other side and say, well, he's the Santa Claus. No matter how bad you are, he still will give you and to get you into heaven no matter how bad you are. So just do your best if you can. People have the wrong conception of Christ, of God, who he is. This thief did not fear God for quite a few reasons. And it's all in the Bible. In Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, and we'll be there for just a short while. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Amen. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. This man, this thief, did not depart from evil. So he did not fear God. If you're today and you have a sin that you have not departed from that is evil in God's eyes, you are not fearing him. You are doing what's good in your own sight, that's good in your own mind and your own perception, but you are not considering God. You have no idea what God is thinking about your heart and your sin. God does not like that. He says, you have no fear of me if you have no fear of evil. Also, his days on earth were shortened. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. 10:27. It says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Amen. Notice, this man was being crucified on the cross. His days could have been prolonged if he did not follow his evil ways. If he wasn't a thief until the day he got caught, he could have lived longer.
That's right. Yeah.
So be aware, if you are in sin, it is very possible your sins will not prolong your days. Your sins will cause you death. For example, AIDS. How many people today are dying of AIDS because of one stupid night, one stupid sin, and today they have a disease that will kill them in 10, 20 years. If they had not done it, they could have lived till the 80, but they have to die a horrible death. What sin does is horrible. So his days on earth were shortened. He did not depart from the snares of death. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7. I'm trying to go through these real quick. That didn't work. I changed that and I didn't. Well, anyways, it's in there somewhere. Chapter 14. But he did not depart from the snares of death. The snares of death caught him. Yeah, that's right. I have one number off. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Thank you very much, Marco. Maybe I'll give you a little extra time. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. A fountain of life. Isn't that what we seek for? Isn't that what God, what Jesus was to the woman of Samaria? A fountain of life? The fear of the Lord. So these are the reasons why he did not fear him. And if you today are in the same position, if you today realize that these points touch you, I suggest you start fearing him. I suggest you change your life. Start thinking of which way you're going. Start thinking of what God sees you and which way he sees you going. This man, later on in our text, it says that he was condemned justly. The one thief says, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. He is being crucified justly. He stole. What does it say in the Old Testament? If any man caught stealing, he was put to death. Caught stealing, he was put to death. So by their own law, He was condemned justly. He had a reason to be on that cross. What do you say later on? And we indeed justly for receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. So he's trying to point out, look, we are dying because we deserve it. We deserve this condemnation. How many people here can say, I deserve hell? How many people in this room could say, I deserve that? Oh man, we talk about hell to lost souls and they say, I don't deserve that. Hitler, maybe Stalin, but not me. I'm not that type of person. I deserve something better. No, you don't.
That's right.
God has no respect of persons, my friend. He is not esteemed someone higher or lower than anybody else. We are all in God's eyes sinners.
That's right.
Equally sinners. Equally horrible in his eyes. We have no right to say, I deserve something better.
That's right.
No right. This man had done nothing wrong. What's his point? Jesus did nothing wrong, and he did everything for you.
Amen.
He died for you in your place. But you know, what's really interesting to me in this whole scenario, because you get different perspectives from different gospels. If you would turn with to Matthew chapter 27. Each gospel, people say that there's problems in the gospels because they don't agree. That's not true. You got four different perspectives on the same thing. You got four different men saying the same thing, writing a little bit different, but still inspired of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 27, it says in verse 38, let's start there. Then were the two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him. For the scribes and elders said, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if you will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Isn't that interesting? Later on in Luke, we found that there's one who was rebuking the other, saying, Who are you? Don't you fear God? And yet, him at the very beginning of the crucifixion, this says that he also was casting the same thing in his teeth. He also was rebuking Christ. He also was saying the same thing. Who do you think you are? Don't you see what you've done? You said all these things. Now, why don't you come off that cross? Now, where's the sudden change of heart? Where did it happen? How? I'll tell you very simply. He heard the gospel of Christ being preached right below his cross. We've just read it. All these things he heard. He heard that Christ was the King of the Jews. He heard that Christ, he said that I will destroy this temple in 3 days. I will build it again. He heard all these things about Christ. He's like, you know what? I'm on the cross. The priests are not up here. They can say that. They have no problem of rebuking Christ. But where am I going to go in just a few moments? I'm dying. I can feel already the blood dripping out of me. I can feel already the life seeping out of my body. What am I going to do in a few moments? Where will I be headed? Those thoughts, I'm pretty sure, were going through his head. His head was just filled with, what's the word? He had mixed emotions. I'm pretty sure he wanted to say that, and yet at the same time, he wanted to believe him. And you know what? He understood who Christ was. Eventually, it dawned on them. It says in verse 42, he says, He finally believes he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He figured out, you know what? He doesn't have to do that. I believe he is the King of the Jews. I believe he is the Son of God, the man he said he is. Amen. And I will believe him by faith. That is the key right there. He believed him. You know, he wanted to know Christ. He wanted to know of Christ, and he heard of him. And he had believed. You know what? In our text, in Luke, it says something interesting. He said he wanted to know of Christ. He said, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He wanted Christ to know him. Understand those words. He wanted Christ to know him. Not him, know Christ. He knew him already with the moment he started being, he heard of him at the cross. But he didn't want to be the man left out. He didn't want to be the man forgotten. Says, depart from me, I knew you not. He wanted to be remembered. He said, Lord, remember me when you're in your kingdom. Remember me that I believe in you. He asked God with humility, my friend. And right there is the key. Humility. He asked God with humility. He didn't say, he keep on going with his heart, the way his heart was at the beginning, and continue like the other man, other thief. He asked God with humility. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I can't even describe the type of feelings he had that moment when asking for that salvation. For that moment to be remembered. I mean, you can just imagine his own mind going through, like I said, fixing to die. So many thoughts going through your head, what to do. So many things I wish I had done. So many regrets I wish I hadn't have done. And yet he has a chance to change that right there. Amen. Right at this moment, he has a chance. He said, I'm going for it. No matter what, if they say what they say he did, well then I will believe him. And if not, well then I'm condemned anyways. I have no choice. You know, they both prayed. Do you know both thieves had a prayer? You say, well, what do you mean? Look at verse 39. Once again, verse 39, and one of the malefactors which hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. He said, well, how can that be a prayer? Save thyself and us. If you be Christ, save yourself and us. Oh, my friend, I know that is a prayer. Because that's what people do today. I've heard people on the streets say, personally, heard them, well, if God exists, let him strike me down right here, at this moment. Well, to me, that sounds like a prayer. If you really exist, well, then do something to me. I'm here, ready. What you got to offer? That sounds to me like a prayer. That sounds to me like a death wish right there. Somebody doesn't know the power of God. He did not know. He prayed a prayer, not of humility. His prayer was one of haughtiness. Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, haughtiness. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Doesn't this describe this scenario to the T? Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. This man, the one man who was railing on Christ, his heart was haughty. His mind was only think of one thing. I want to live a little longer. I want to continue my sin. I want to continue being the man I was. Get me off this cross. Lord, get me off. I want to be the man I was, not the man you want me to be. His prayer was one of haughtiness. So he was being destroyed. He didn't believe that he deserved death. He didn't believe that. He didn't believe that he was the one up there dying for his own sin. He didn't believe that. A lot of people today cannot believe that they will die because of their own sin.
Yeah.
They don't believe that their sin will condemn them to hell.
That's right.
Like, no. I tried to do good. I can't believe that. That's impossible. Like I said, he liked his sin. And oh, how this world likes their sin.
Yeah.
Live in darkness. And you know why? You know how we know that? Because we either are or were the same way. Exactly the same way. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians still have sin that they like. Still go into them. Now that's a shame. And I'm preaching to myself, brothers and sisters. That's something that we should not do. Our sin, we should hate our sin. Because God hates sin.
That's right.
We should do what God hates. But he likes his sin. But the other thief, the one who, and before honor is humility, prayed with humility. And you know what? He got honored. He got honored. He did. He really did. He understood what he had done. He understood his sin. His state with God, which very few people understand.
That's right.
Their state with God is that I'm a sinner. Because I'm a sinner, I deserve hell. Oh, how I wish we'd find some real sinners on the streets. It's so hard to find real, downright sinners. Because why? They think themselves higher than others. Better than others. Not so bad as the man in the gutter over there who's drunk in his own vomit. But better. This man, he knew who Christ was. He knew that if he went with him, he would be saved from that death. He knew that. And you know what the best part of it all? He called on his name. He did. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He called out his name. He called him Lord. He didn't call him Jesus. He didn't say, you on the cross, if you are who you say you are, well then save me, I believe in you. Like a lot of people pray. They pray, okay, fine, if you really are the person you say you are, I'll believe in you just in case it's my last option and I don't know what else to do. I've gone through everything else and I'll just try you and just make sure that I got it, I've done everything. What kind of prayer is that? This was one of humility. This is one of downright understanding his state with God. He knew that he needed to change his life. And if it wasn't, if only if it was for a split breath, not a second. This man only had breaths away to death. He said, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. God's answer was only to one thief. Notice?
Right.
Notice, he only answered one thief.
Right.
And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Praise
today you will be with me in paradise. And he completely ignored the other thief. Completely, utterly sent him packing. He didn't even give him a time of day. He didn't even answer his ridicules. I'm pretty sure he didn't even look at him. My friend, I want you to understand one thing right now. Christ is offering you something today.
Amen.
He is not one of those tomorrow or maybe day after tomorrow. Oh, when I have time, when you come to me in an appropriate manner, maybe I'll listen to you then. Maybe I understand you and I'll listen to you if you come. And with a different, well, if you do come with a different heart, he will hear you. But he's not one of tomorrow. Maybe not, they won't say, well, you know what? Come in about 100 years and maybe I'll be around. Maybe I'll be free. He says, today, Today is the day of salvation, my friend. Not tomorrow. I heard a song sung by one of my uncles. It said, "You're a day too late. A day too late for salvation. Oh, what a shame. Oh, what a shame that you were a day too late." Which one of you are you today? Are you the thief that God does not answer at all? That God will ignore? Or will you the thief? Are you be that thief that said, that Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Oh, my friend, how I wish that you'd be the one that prayed with humility, not with haughtiness, not with one of, "I'm not that bad. God, I do a lot of good. I help old ladies cross the street. I really do. I pass out trash for other people. Just help them out, not for anything else. I really try to do good." Doing good will get you nowhere, but praying with humility and complete faith in Christ Jesus, who is the only one who can save you, that will get you somewhere. And to the only place that deserves anything, any kind of glory, that's heaven. Understand that you today could have that assurance that that thief had. The same assurance he had, you can have today. Christ is not any different today than he was then. There's not, the gospel hasn't changed, my friend. Today, the gospel is the same thing. Come unto me. Call upon my name and thou shalt be saved. Everyone who calls upon me, he can and he will. And he's faithful to forgive. He is faithful to forgive. Think on those words. Oh, men are not faithful. Men cannot hold their promises, and I am one of them. But oh, God can. Amen. He is faithful to forgive your sins.
Amen.
Isn't that a blessing? That's a promise from God himself. So if you're not safe tonight, I suggest you get into something good. You get into something good that will give you the only blessing that God has. Not the only blessing. It is the greatest blessing. But God offers more. God offers a whole lot more than just salvation. We don't deserve it, but he offers salvation first. Come unto him and you will be saved. So if you are saved today, if you are here, and you may think, "Well, what does that have to do with me?" Think of this. We have an obligation to preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. My question to you today. What would you say or what would you think if you walked up to that thief? Would you give him the gospel? Or would you just ignore him thinking, "Well, that's not the kind of guy that God wants. He's not looking for something like that. He's looking for someone over there. Someone more important who isn't quite such a bad sinner." We should not be judging of persons. God doesn't. He doesn't judge people. He sees their heart. And unfortunately, we cannot. We cannot judge hearts. We cannot see hearts. That's why we have to sow everywhere. And hope it falls on good ground. Hope that there's someone out there seeking the Lord. Tonight, I hope that your heart tonight is seeking the Lord.
Amen.
And I hope your heart is good ground. Because I don't like hitting stony ground or thorny grounds. I want your heart to be good. I want your heart to be seeking the Lord. Tonight you are not saved. I hope you will seek him. And to those who are saved, continue serving the Lord. But because he is the only one who can save. And without him, this world is lost.
Praise the Lord.